We were members of that kingdom of darkness. Apart from God's gracious work in us, we were not merely outside of God's kingdom as neutral, in a neutral position, but in fact, being members of the kingdom of Satan, by nature, we were rebels against God's kingdom. In Adam, we had allied ourselves with the devil and were rebels against God. And we ought to understand then, beloved, that apart from the grace of Jesus Christ, we don't even deserve to be doorkeepers in the kingdom of God. We don't deserve even the lowest position in the kingdom of God. Indeed, we deserve to be cast out of God's presence and to experience the everlasting torments of hell. But what a privilege, what glorious grace of God that our Shepherd King gave his life for the sheep. Thanks be to God that Christ atoned for our sins and earned for us glorious citizenship in the kingdom of God. Earned for us all the privileges of salvation. What a glorious King. And what a glorious kingdom. Walking worthy of God goes hand in hand with the knowledge that we are citizens of that kingdom. God, who hath called you unto his kingdom, that is to say, into his kingdom, making you and me citizens in his kingdom. God addresses, through the inspired word of the apostle, then God addresses us directly. He doesn't just talk about some people out there who were made citizens, but he says that he addresses the church of the Thessalonians and then also Trinity Protestant Reformed Church today, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. God has called us, beloved, into his kingdom. God has called us as elect, regenerated sinners by the word of the gospel. And by his powerful Spirit, he has illuminated us so that now we are capable of understanding spiritual things spiritually. To say that God has called us means that he has worked in our hearts by his powerful, efficacious word, by his Spirit applying that word to translate us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. God has made you and me citizens in that kingdom. And we will never be taken out of that kingdom. We can never lose our citizenship in that kingdom. That efficacious word that has, efficacious Spirit who has applied that word and taken us out of the kingdom of darkness and put us into the kingdom of God's dear Son, that same word preserves us in that kingdom. You know, people spend years and thousands of dollars to become citizens of the United States. They see that as a great privilege that is worthy of expending themselves for. But citizenship in an earthly country, beloved, doesn't even compare to that citizenship, that glorious citizenship that God has given to you and to me, bringing us into His kingdom. That is the all-important backdrop of our calling to walk worthy. It's not walking worthy in order to enter that kingdom, but it's walking worthy as those who have already been graciously granted citizenship in the kingdom of God. The text indicates the greatness of our privilege when it uses the word glory. God, who hath called you unto His kingdom and glory. That glory ultimately looks forward to the glory that we will experience in heaven, but that glory refers to the honor and the dignity that God gives to us. The honor that we have of being made members of God's party, brought into citizenship in His kingdom. When Jesus uttered His high priestly prayer in John 17, verse 22, He says, this is right before Jesus went to the cross and paid for all of our privileges. He says in His prayer, "And the glory which Thou gavest Me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as We are one." Beloved, God gives us the glory, that is, the honor and dignity of being brought into covenant fellowship with Himself, the triune God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. He makes us partakers of His glory as He conforms us to the image of His Son. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, "But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed." We are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. God has given to us, beloved, the beginning of that glory, but He will give us the fullness of that glory in that kingdom which is to come to its full realization in heaven. What a privilege that God has called us into His kingdom and glory. Our citizenship comes with all the glorious benefits of salvation. And now, in thankfulness, we want to walk worthy of God, who has made us citizens, who has brought us into His kingdom. But if we look at ourselves and see how we have walked in the past year and wonder how we will walk in this coming year, we see, beloved, that in ourselves we are not able By our own strength, we cannot. It is one thing to say, walk worthy, but actually walking worthy is another matter. Because we have the old man of sin that plagues us. The flesh, that old man of sin, wants nothing to do with walking worthy, wants rather everything to do with walking unworthily. The flesh always and ever wants to follow after the kingdom of darkness. The flesh wants to follow after all of those horrible wickednesses that surround us. It wants to follow after adultery and pornography and hatred and fighting and drunkenness. The flesh wants to serve ourselves. How is it possible for us to walk worthy of God when there is that old man that yet clings to us? But in the battle, beloved, God gives grace. He has given us the new man by His Spirit. And that new man battles against the old man. And in that battle, God gives to us the means of grace. The means of grace that the apostle mentions in the previous verse, verse 11, in the preaching of the word. As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. God gives to us the means of grace in the church, not in separation from the church in our own homes, but especially God gives the means of grace in the church. He exhorts us through the preaching, shows to us the urgency of our calling. Sometimes that word exhort is translated beseech. Through the preaching, he beseeches us, urges us to flee from the wrath to come, to look to Jesus Christ alone for our salvation, urges us to cleave to Jesus Christ and to walk in Him. We need to be exhorted. We need also to be comforted when we are tempted to give up in the battle. Comfort is given to those who are feeble. And we all are feeble. We need to be comforted when we see our sins and our sinfulness. We need to be comforted with God's word that declares to us that our God is plenteous in forgiveness for Christ's sake. We need to be comforted when in the trials and persecutions of life, we wonder where God is. We need to be comforted with that word that says, God will never leave us nor forsake us. He has brought us into His kingdom. He's not going to throw us out of His kingdom. And we need to be charged. Charged. Shown the great importance of that word, brought that word with urgency. Ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God. Beloved, in the battle, God gives us the means of grace, but the means of grace all by themselves do not give us grace. The means will only serve us if the God who has called us by his grace also continues to give us grace in our daily walk. And God does that. The God who has called us efficaciously into his kingdom, who has given us that grace to bring us into covenant fellowship with himself, is the God that continually gives us grace. He blesses us daily with his grace. Because the God who begins a work in us is the God who continues that work in us. The God who has called us unto a glorious inheritance and given us the beginning of that inheritance will surely preserve us all the way through our lives until we receive the fullness of that inheritance in glory. By his grace, applying his word to us, he gives us hope. He gives us the hope of glory that motivates us in thankfulness to walk worthy. God, by his grace, works in our hearts so that we say, after all that God has done for me, I want to serve him and I want to glorify him, even if that means affliction and persecution. The apostle, after he speaks the words of our text, speaks of that grace in this way, verse 13, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because," and then he goes on to describe the result of God's gracious work in the Thessalonian church. "We give thanks without ceasing because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." And he goes on to describe the effects of that grace. God gives that grace, beloved, to you and to me. God worked in the Thessalonian church, and he describes the result of that work also in chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, when he says, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering we had unto you, how that ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." God, by his grace, worked in the Thessalonian church and works in Trinity Protestant Reformed Church. And he speaks to us of that glorious truth that we have been delivered from the wrath to come, and we have the hope of glory. And he works in us so that we turn from idols to serve our God. Beloved, God has graciously called us into his glorious kingdom. He has given to us the hope of glory. What a wonderful reason to walk worthy of God in this coming year and in the future. What a wonderful reason to bring glory to his name. May God give to us the grace that we need each and every day, that we would walk worthy to the glory of his name. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, how weak we are and how we stumble in this life. Grant to us, we pray, thy grace in this coming year, that we may walk worthy, that we would let our light so shine before men that they would glorify thee, thou who dost shine upon us by thy grace. Forgive us where we have fallen short, and lead and guide us by thy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.